Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. So welcome to my channel yet again. Anyway, in this video, I'm commenting on the news from, a day ago, when the United Kingdom's House of Commons voted by a crushing majority to accept report of the Standards Committee, which found that Boris Johnson had knowingly misled Parliament on at least eight occasions. I think that the word is lie, actually. I remember all members of Parliament treated as under oath when they make statements in the House of Commons chamber. Outside, no. Other rooms in the House of Parliament, no. A whispered conversation to someone beside you on the bench, no. But if you stand up to address the House, that's under oath. But they don't actually take an oath to tell the truth. So that's these are perjurious statements. Admittedly, there's no legal repercussion for having done this. And he's the only prime minister ever to be found to have done this. Is the only member of parliament ever to be found to have done this? I mean, obviously, he's not the first who lied. Anthony Eden, Tony Blair, many others, Margaret Thatcher, John Major provably lied. Gordon Brown, probably all of them, actually. But anyway, so 354 MPs voted to accept the report and seven voted to reject it. Now, you might know there's 650 members of the House of Commons. Now, the Speaker doesn't vote. Now, not every MP is going to be there every day. Notably, Rishi Sunak was conspicuous by his absence. And the First Lord of the Treasury said he had a long-standing engagement there, so he was unable to go and cast his ballot for against the report. But he seems to broadly have signaled his acceptance of the report. Certainly hasn't said anything indicative of any dissent. So now some of Boris Johnson's old standbys are impugning the integrity of the committee. And one of their canards is Sir Bernard Jenkin, who sat upon it, had attended a lockdown party for his wife's 65th birthday party, or something like that. Okay, but he hadn't lied about it. And perhaps his recusal would have been more apposite, as that, you know, Sir Chris Bryant, a Labour MP, he recused himself. I can't quite remember why. But I mean, Boris Johnson and others had said, yeah, we accept Harriet Harman being on at the chair of it, the mother of the House, the longest serving woman in the House of Commons ever, I think, actually. But the mother of the House would whoever be the woman who's the longest continuously serving. Anyway, so former Labour cabinet minister. So who were the MPs who voted for it? Obviously, virtually every Labour MP, Scottish National Party, Liberal Democrat, Greens, some of the ones in the Northern Ireland parties, and Plaid Cymru. And who are the Conservatives who voted to endorse it? The erstwhile Prime Minister, Theresa May, who's Boris Johnson's immediate predecessor, and there's a bit of a grudge match going on. The Lord President, the Council Leader of the House of Commons, Penny Mordaunt, who's probably the next leader of the Conservative Unionist Party after the party gets trashed in the election in 2024. The Education Secretary, Gillian Keegan. But who were the very few Conservative MPs who stuck up for him? These were Sir Bill Cash. The arch-Eurosceptic is about 80 years of age. He's standing down at the next election. Nick Fletcher, Adam Holloway, not exactly household names. Carl McCartney, Joy Morrissey. I think apart from Johnson, the only American-born MP, originally American citizen, and Heather Wheely. So whereas 118 Conservatives voted in favour of the report, so only seven against. So, I mean, I didn't think Johnson had that much support, but I thought it'd be like maybe 20. But it was rather fewer than anyone expected, particularly Alexander Boris Pfeffel Johnson himself. And notably, his stalwart advocate, the Honourable Jacob Rees-Mogg, soon to be Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's getting a knightage at Bojo's insistence. He didn't vote for him, abstained. Rather surprising, actually. So this is sort of uncharacteristically reticent of him. He's not known to be wanting to duck a challenge or to fail to express an opinion. Now, he's publicly denounced the committee, but Sir Jacob, come on, you think talk is cheap? Action speaks louder than words. Why didn't you vote against it? Okay, so who else spoke up for Boris in the debate was Leah Nietzsche. Anyway, so Tobias Elwood, he's a senior Conservative and former army officer, I think he's on the Defence Select Committee. He voted for the committee's report to accept it and said it was important because it shows that people are being held to account, and it's spelt Finis to this rather sordid chapter in British politics. And, you know, prime ministers have got to know that they will be held to account, that they cannot get away with this sort of thing. But admittedly, that's not actually why it's forced out, not to do with lockdown Partygate. But OK, it hadn't been fully investigated back then. But lying about the Chris Pincher affair when he was aware of allegations against Mr. Pincher, this Conservative MP, had allegedly sexually assaulted males. Anyway, so the Liberal Democrats, they denounced Prime Minister Sunak, saying that Rishi Sunak was a caitiff. He's invertebrate. He ought to have voted for him. So Daisy Cooper, she's the deputy leader of the Lib Dems, and she said his failure to vote says all you need to know about the Prime Minister's lack of leadership. And likewise, Labour said that Sunak was feeble and that the party is divided against itself and incapable of administering the country. So, yeah, that's it. That really does spell the end to Boris Johnson's career. He's got this fantasy that he can come back when the Tories win the next, lose the next election, somehow some big role. But, you know, we've heard this before. When he resigned as prime minister, he said that he was like Cincinnatus returning to his plough, impliedly saying he feels he'd be called back at a moment of crisis. When there was a crisis, 49 days later, when Liz Truss was standing down, he thought he could come back then, and he never even had the courage of his convictions to actually make an announcement himself. It was his friends making this statement, so you see how he lacks backbone. And then he was thinking the May local elections, these would be a dismal result for the Conservative Party, and indeed they were, that he could then oust Rishi then and reclaim the crown. So no, it failed to happen. And he's not even an MP anymore. He might find it difficult to get selected by any Conservative Association as their candidate, and indeed the Conservative Party might actually block him, take off the candidate's list. Just because he has been prime minister, that doesn't automatically mean he gets to be a candidate. Why would the Conservative Party have a candidate who has been proven and overwhelmingly accepted to be a liar, to lie in the most serious way, to lie on multiple occasions to the House of Commons? So he is really a disgrace to the Conservative Party. So Boris Johnson, he said that the committee really was marsupial, and it posed a 90-day suspension. It was going to be at least 10 days, but I think they made it so long partly because he leaked some of the content of the report when it still was to be private. He was shown this in advance in confidence before it was actually going to be published. But anyway, so Theresa May, the former prime minister, said that she voted this way to uphold standards in public life and to show that we all recognise responsibility we have to the public we serve and to restore faith in our parliamentary democracy, close quotation. So prime ministers and anyone else can't get away with lying to the House of Commons and the wider public, you know, that they can't have impunity. So they cannot escape consequences for this. Anyway, so Leah Nietzsche, who used to be Boris Johnson's parliamentary private secretary, said she hadn't seen a shred of evidence to suggest that he deliberately misled Parliament. So he may have misled it through inadvertence, according to her. And it was sheer political opportunism, echoing Johnson's lie that this was just spiteful and it was a political hit job. Okay, so Sir Jacob felt that this was cruel and excessive, the penalty imposed, the 90-day suspension. But Harriet Harman said that, you know, the committee had to stand up to Boris Johnson's attempts to cow them, and they weren't going to be scared. He did everything he did to undermine the legitimacy of the inquiry, to cast doubt on the veracity of its findings and so forth. There was a grist to the mill, though, were some tweets by Miss Harman herself, which really weakened her claim to impartiality. So, that's it. It was a free vote. It was not whipped. And what an utter humiliation. It's an ignominious end to Boris Johnson's spectacular but often unethical career. Thank you very much for watching. Bye.